worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day today. Got a lot of interesting stories again, as always. And Dad wanted to start off the show with we got a write-in from another customer listener today, or actually yesterday. It was a pretty cool letter, so I'll let Dad open up with that. Dad, how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I mean, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. You know, sometimes I even tell people that my life is so good that I need to charge an admission ticket. I mean, it's like a movie anyhow, right? So we might as well play the movie we want to play, since we're living in a hologram, since we can create what we want. We might as well do what we want. Had a bunch of requests. Also, we want to talk about the blood of Jesus today. I'm going to cover that very quickly today, because I've had a lot of folks asking me about that. I had two counseling sessions today with some folks, and very, very nice people. And one of them asked me about that, if I could cover it and actually put a CD set together on this, which I can. And I can probably do a single CD for like $9.95, and you guys can listen to it over and over and download it into your, you know, electronics or however you want to do all of that. But then I want to start off with this letter today. And here's the letter said. It said basically, this is from a man up in New York. His name is Tom. And he said, guys, this is the second day at least I had to email you before the show ended, and this is in case 20 minutes into the show. And he goes on to say, and I'm humbled by this letter, by the way. I'm just humbled by the fact that we're actually affecting people and people like us this much. He goes, your show is second to none, even above Alex and Hagman, which I don't know about all that. But this is what he says. I love Doug and Joe and always look forward to your appearances on other shows in addition to your daily show. Listen, Austin covering and explaining the book of Enoch and Ted explaining about a personal prayer life and a relationship with the Lord. I mean, you don't hear this anywhere. And I'm not saying people intentionally avoid it, but I only hear it here daily. I mean, you guys start out your show with positive attitudes, and I know life's not all roses here on earth every day for everyone. But then you give the glory and the praise to the one who supplies not one but all of our needs. You guys are killing it. Your show is so important because it is the libertarian prepper community so many people talk about, press, but forget, apart from me, you can do nothing. You guys never let us forget the truth, and as I'm typing Austin's reading an email from a woman, I concur, so happy you, Austin, made it through what he had to make it through with his health. It's nice to hear Ted read my email, let you know that I'm appreciated, even though it was about Ted's humor and Hillary's health, etc. Again, you guys rock. So guys, by the way, thank you, Tom. I really appreciate you writing that up from New York. We get so many of these emails on a daily basis, and I like sharing them with you if I can, because I want you guys to know that we actually read your emails. You know, you can send an email to a lot of the other top show hosts, and they're never going to see your email. I can guarantee you, if you decide to send an email to one of the news anchors in NBC, ABC, or CBS, they will not see your email. And if they did see your email, they would never respond to you. That's not the way I am. I've always been taught that I have to put my pants on one leg at a time, just like anybody else. It doesn't matter who I've spoken with, what I've done, how many books I've sold, how many seminars I've done. It doesn't make any difference. It's all about realizing that we're all the same in Christ Jesus, and God is no respecter of persons. And what he'll do for one, he'll do for another, and he loves all of us equally. Now, I've talked about it before. He doesn't like everybody. That's a fact. And favor is not necessarily fair because of people, what they do. Like I said, he doesn't like abortionists. He doesn't like Satanists. He doesn't like people who sacrifice children to do weird things. But he loves everybody because we're created in his image. But sometimes God can only deal with so much. And guys, I tell you what, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, according to the book of Hebrews. So guys, we need to always realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now also, let's talk about having an occasional drink every once in a while. You know, I don't want you guys to think, because a lot of times you listen to these TV evangelists and they make you think you're going to hell every time you turn around. Every time you do something, you think you're going to hell. Guys, when you're born again and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're committed to God and you're in covenant with God. You're connected to him through the Holy Spirit into his dimension, and you're not going to lose your salvation because you make a mistake. Now, God doesn't want you going out and doing horrible, horrible things, and he lists those things in the Bible and claiming that you're a Christian. That he doesn't want you to do. But if you're mindful of the things that you're doing, that you don't need to be doing those, and you're quick to repent for those things, that's what grace is all about. Even Paul said, the things that I know that I'm not supposed to do, those are the things that I do. And the things that I know that I'm supposed to do, those are the things I don't do. And then he goes, what a wretched man am I. Guys, listen to me for a second. This is so important. When Jesus Christ came and he died for your sins and he connected you, and I'm going to talk about his blood in just a second. When he did this for you, It was to restore you to the righteousness of Christ through God. When God looks at you, he does not see your sinful nature. He sees you. He sees Jesus through you. That's all he sees, because he's not going to judge you, because Jesus already took the punishment for what you did. See, from the very beginning, when Lucifer fell from heaven, Lucifer was one of God's, how should I say this? He was like a, he worked with God, I guess, in the creation of everything. But he never had the ability to create life from nothing. But he was there with God. You know, he was like the heavenly host and sang the glory in the songs, etc. But what we have to understand, though, he's not a God like God is, like our God is. He's just a created being like, you know, like the other angels are. That's all he is. But he decided he wanted to kind of overthrow heaven and take over, which is about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, if you can't even create life and you've got your God who can create life, why in the world do you think you can take over if you don't even know how to do that, if you claim to be a God? Because that's what he does with his followers. He claims to be a God, and he says that Yahweh was the bad God and he was the good God. And my response is always this, and this is always very succinct with me, and I'm always clear when I say this. And guys, if you're listening to me today and you're dabbling in witchcraft, in Wiccan, in Satanism, in voodoo, in all of the other black arts, listen to me for a second. This is not going to go well for you at all, because here's the thing. All of this stuff leads to sacrifice of children, blood, drinking, rituals, all of it, and doing some really nasty stuff to people. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. If Lucifer, that you claim is the good guy, really is the good guy, why does he demand the sacrifice of children? Why does he want you to sodomize children? Why does he want you to ritually sacrifice children? As we've seen now with the Podesta emails, why does he want you to go to soul cooking parties and drink the body excrement of other people that have been tortured or whatever they've done, and these sexual exploits they've had them do and how they've basically tortured them? Guys, this is some sick, sick stuff. And it's all being brought to us via the evil one, via the Sabbatean Levy from the 1600s, who taught us to turn everything upside down, not us, but the Satanists. This was taught to the Rothschilds through Jacob Frank. And this is why we are in the situation we're in. As above, so below. They want everything to be an opposite image of what it's supposed to be. They want everything to be turned upside down, which is what the word says it's going to say. Now, let's talk about the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to explain away a miracle, because for indeed what I'm fixing to talk about is a miracle. But there's something very important that you have to understand, is that life is in the blood, and it says that repeatedly throughout the Bible and the Old Testament. If I took your blood, a pint of your blood, kept it alive at the proper temperature, kept it oxygenated, put it on a jet, and flew it to Australia, and in 24 hours it's on the other side of the world, and I had you sit here, and now you have a pint of your blood that's still alive, that's connected to you, and I put that blood on the other side of the planet, and I have you watch a scary movie here in the United States, and you get really scared, and you start releasing fear molecules. When you do this, these same fear molecules that you're releasing in the United States will be released in Australia, in the blood that's in Australia. Now, you say, how in the world is that possible? It's because everything on this universal plane that we're in is interconnected through quantum entanglement, for a better use of a term. And so what happens is, when your body signals it to release these types of compounds, it releases them in the blood in Australia along with the blood here. Now, the way it does that is, when you have a radio wave and you turn it over, you look at it on an oscilloscope, you'll see it's like a little curve up and down, up and down, up and down. When you put the opposite wave across it, it will annihilate itself. It will go away. That's how Bose headsets work. And when you do that, when you annihilate that radio wave, you create what's called a longitudinal wave. That longitudinal wave, if you take two of those and you lay them on top of each other, you create what's called a scalar wave. So we're basically laying them on top of each other, creating a scalar wave. Now, scalar waves, when you broadcast in a scalar wave, that's why they're used as weapons, they know no distance and time space. So if you were to try to take a information radio wave made out of a scalar wave, which would become a scalar wave, and you wanted to send it to a constellation 100 million light years away, it would be there instantaneously. because it would go interdimensionally. That's how it works. That's why scalar weaponry and scalar physics is the new frontier of science. It really, really is. Quantum mechanics, they also call it that. So what we're looking at is this. We've got multiple layers of universes laying on top of each other. When you fold them over in a quantum entanglement, you can go from point A to point B instantaneously because it's going interdimensionally. That's how a scalar wave operates. That's what happens when your body signals to your blood in Australia to release fear molecules. It's instantaneous. It happens in Australia. There's no delay. This is why I wanted to share this with you again today. This is the importance of this. When I first started studying the Old Testament, I couldn't understand why it was so important for the Israelites to bring the sacrifices to the temple and to sacrifice a cow or a pigeon or a bull or whatever, sheep, you know, for sacrifice. And then all of a sudden, Jesus became our lamb, the Lamb of God, and he was sacrificed for our sins. And I always thought, well, that's interesting. And I always thought, wow, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And I thought, well, how can that be possible? I mean, God could do anything without that. And the heathen and the satanic groups, they drink blood and they have their bloodletting rituals in which they sacrifice humans and children and they take their blood. So it seems odd to me that we're having to do something with the blood of Christ that they're also doing. But what they're doing is they're doing, again, turning everything upside down, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show. They're taking what God intended to be done for good through the blood of Christ. They're turning it upside down because they understand the physics from a Old Testament kind of standpoint of what blood does. Now, what's interesting about this is the old fallen angels, supposedly one of Noah's sons found the book from the fallen angels after the flood explaining how all of this stuff works. And it was basically given to the Masonic lodges. This is where they claim that it came from, right through the Druidic worship. Now, whether that book exists or doesn't exist, I don't know. Again, a lot of this stuff, I'm just telling you what I've read and what I've heard and what I've spoken about before. So we have all of this knowledge of this deep occult teaching that was also taught by the fallen angels. And in Austin, we talked about it yesterday in the book of Enoch. Now, this was taken through the Druids all the way through into the Babylonian Talmud in the 6th century when they're teaching all these crazy things. This was taken all the way up into Khazaria and then all of a sudden, you know, with the snake people. And then all of a sudden, they basically were brought into Europe because they were basically enfolded into the group of Europe. These people then became the wizards and the warlocks and the people of the Middle Ages that you read about in some of the history books. Now, this stuff's been around since that length of time. So if you try to go through Christianity and not understand what this means, or through Judaism and not understand what this means, all you're going to do is get very frustrated. Because you don't get the point. Because if you can't understand Genesis chapter 6 and understand that there were giants in those days, that these giants ate people, that these giants and the people there were basically genetically compromised, including many of the animals and the reptiles. We read that yesterday in the book of Enoch. And that God basically pulled the plug on the planet and flushed everything to start over again, to wipe the planet of this satanic fallen angel DNA, which should never have happened. But then again, it says they were there before the flood and after the flood. The second time around, though, they've been a lot more subtle with what they've done, and they haven't gone full tilt like they did the first time, because I guess they're trying to sneak it in so God won't notice. Well, I got news for you. God noticed. Okay, and we saw that with the Trump election. God noticed, and we're going to have to keep his feet to the fire also to make sure he does what he needs to do. But let's go ahead and let's talk about the blood of Jesus. And again, this is very important that you understand this. Why was it necessary to shed blood? God and Jesus are basically as Adam was, or created in God's image. Now, let me explain that to you. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. The exact representation of the Father. It says that. I mean, like a stamp, like a rubber stamp copy of Yahweh is Yeshua. And that's the same as Adam was, because Adam said he was created in God's image. So God and Jesus are basically, as Adam was, created in God's image, an exact copy or duplicate. That's why the evil one was determined to contaminate Adam's DNA. And he did so until the flood of Noah, and also then again afterward. This is why his blood is so important, because it's literally God's blood. Jesus' blood is literally God's blood, because the book of Hebrews says he's the exact copy of God. Jesus' blood through plasma physics carries the very frequency of this creator of the universe, God Almighty, Yahweh himself. This is basic cellular biology. Since God is omnipresent, he doesn't wear a wristwatch, no time exists. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. When his blood, the blood of Jesus, was spilled on the cross, his blood through its cellular communication, through light photons, through scalar waves, through the double helix Tesla step-up coil, which is our DNA, using today's vernacular, broadcast his perfect cellular DNA biology throughout time-space continually for all eternity to restore us and our DNA. This is why the book of Hebrews says that this spilling of Jesus' blood covers us for all eternity, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. His DNA, his transmitter is what this is, from the spilled blood of Christ, literally cries out through all of the dimensions of time-space, rewriting our DNA to bring us back to God. This is how we're saved, born again. This is how we become the righteousness of Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, our DNA is literally rewritten and restored by God Almighty himself, by Yahweh. We become the righteousness of God through Yeshua. Through Yeshua's sacrifice, or the spilling of his blood, is why our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. This is why Yeshua and Yahweh no longer remembers them, because we are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's why we have to be quick to confess our sins unto the Lord. This is how much God loves us, that we, when we accept Jesus through faith, he literally again rewrites and restores our DNA. We are restored to him in his heavenly realm. The mark of the beast will most likely rewrite human DNA. A lot of authors have said that, to that of the fallen one. I'm going to repeat that. The mark of the beast will most likely rewrite human DNA to the mark of the, to that of the fallen one. That's why we cannot take the mark of the beast, ever. Remember, this war in the heavenlies has been going on for millennia. It has gone on for thousands and thousands upon thousands of years. When Yeshua died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That's what he said. Okay? Now, but they don't want us to realize that it's finished, because God's omnipresence, he continually restores our DNA from the cross. What they want to do is build us with machines so that we can become part human, part machine, so that we will, quote unquote, not die. This is transhumanism. This is what the world is trying to do, because remember, Satan can't create life, but he can create a machine. These fallen demonic creatures are so angry that Jesus, Yeshua, and Yahweh did this, because they cannot turn off the DNA transmitter from his blood from the cross, because they are not omnipresent. Therefore, they are doing everything in their power to once again corrupt human DNA. They're doing it through chemtrails, Morgellons, fluoride, vaccines, cancer, Nagalase, drugs, GMOs, anything to destroy God's children. They want to destroy Yahweh's children. They want to destroy us. I've spoken to so many people, Austin, who are younger than me, whose health, because they've got into the medical model, is a complete and total wreck.
Yep.
Because they started believing the lie that they needed more drugs, more drugs, more drugs, more drugs. And when they want to put you on things like prednisone, etc., that's a broad-range anti-inflammatory compound. It's a steroidal compound. That means they pretty much don't know what else to do with you guys. And that's the thing about it is, if you take turmeric, cod liver oil, eat clean, in many cases, you can get rid of all of this inflammation without having to take things like prednisone. That is also why they are attacking the immune system in full force through their chemtrails, through their sunscreens, all of the junk they're putting in the GMOs, all the stuff they're putting into our food. But if we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, our DNA, though it may be damaged by what they're doing to us, is renewed by the creator of the universe, because the continual DNA broadcast through all time-space by the blood of Yeshua can't be stopped. These fallen ones cannot stop the blood of Christ and what it's doing for us. The DNA of Christ is basically doing continual DNA repair for all eternity. No wonder they are so angry, and Lucifer runs about as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, because he may not devour us because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now, guys, this is some of the most powerful teaching you're ever going to get from anybody. This is scalar physics combined with the Word of God, and it teaches you what DNA does, how DNA works, how the blood works, and how we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. This is why I've said so many times, the Christian churches are anemic. It's like they're sick. It's like they've got AIDS. They're suffering with a disease that's destroyed them, and they're weakened. And they have no idea who or what they are in Jesus Christ. They have no idea. They don't understand the power that we've been given through the blood of the Lamb. They don't understand what happens when we're restored to the righteousness of Christ because of the shedding of Jesus' blood. They have no idea. They don't understand that they can literally control the very fabric of time-space by the words they speak and by the prayers they pray, because those same prayers are scalar waves. They don't get that. And so they tell you, well, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and by the way, send me money and you'll be blessed. Guys, listen to me. When you start getting one of these prosperity preachers, they refuse to teach repentance, and they refuse to teach holiness, and they refuse to talk about the blood of Jesus and the power of the blood. When they refuse to do that, you've got to step away, and you've got to ask yourself a question. What are they really here for? Guys, listen to me. If we're not here to make a difference as Christians, if this radio show is not here to make a difference in your life, if we can't do what we need to do as Christians, then why in the world are we calling on Jesus Christ? Why can't we realize that this is the power we've been given from on high? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we have to believe. We have to have faith. We've got to realize that if we do what we say we're going to do, if we act like we're supposed to act, if we pray like we're going to act and supposed to act, if we ask God for all of these things, it shall be given unto you according to your riches and glory. That's what the Word says. And the reason He says that is He wants you to understand. There are caveats. There are caveats to what God wants you to do and doesn't want you to do. He says, if you do this, then you'll do that, and I'll do this. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to restore you to the righteousness of myself, of Yahweh. I'm going to do that for you through the blood of Christ. But when you do all of this, you've got to remember, this is a free gift. I want you to act accordingly. I don't care if you mess up every once in a while, because you guys are humans. I got that. But the thing about it is, it can't be just continual recurring sin in your life, because that's what we are called away from. Because you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. That's what Paul said. Because you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. If something in your life is bothering you, whether it be drugs or alcohol or pornography or promiscuity, whatever it is, if you feel that come up from the Satan, if you feel those thoughts come up to say, get thee behind me, Satan, and realize that he has no authority over you, because you're now in God's dimension, because you're connected to with the Holy Spirit to God in the uppermost high dimension. That's why he's called the Most High God, because he's in that top dimension. All the other gods with little g's, and yet Yahweh in the top dimension, he's the Most High God. And when you're connected with him, all of the other dimensions have to answer to him. And now because you're connected with him and you're in blood covenant with him through the Lamb, they have to answer. They have no authority over you. But you've got to realize that you have that authority. If you say, I'm gaining weight, I don't want to gain any more weight, Well, gluttony's a sin. We got that. Get me behind me, Satan. And then pray. Say, God, help me. Help me not to want to eat these foods. Help me to want to eat clean. Father, I ask you in the name of Yeshua to help me. And what will happen is, you'll suddenly go, wow, I don't want to do that anymore. Wow. That has no hold on me. Wow, I've been restored back to the righteousness of God, the Yahweh, through Yeshua, through the blood of the Lamb. That's what happens when you're a Christian. But guys, we've got to get away from this anemic teaching. The church has been completely and totally just overrun with Satanism. The Catholic Church, and there's pedophiles, unbelievable. And then in the Christian churches, you know, they're name it, claim it, blab it, grab it stuff. And don't get me wrong, I believe in the blessings of God. I have no problem with any of that, because God wants to bless his children. But it can't be all about that. You've got to be restoring people back to righteousness in these churches. You've got to be telling them, hey, you know, if you're having this relationship and you're married but you got a girl on the side, that ain't cool. That ain't cool, man. You should be doing that. And not okaying it from the pulpit. You know, you don't do stuff like that. And you got to realize, guys, if we can do what we say we're going to do, if we base our lives on the Word of God and study the Word on a regular basis and realize that even when we slip up and we're trying, it doesn't make any difference, because His grace is sufficient for thee. and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So guys, I just want to share something with you. I love you. I appreciate you. And I know that God's going to bless you richly in all the areas of your life, your body, your finances, your marriage, everything. And I know that the teaching I just gave you is going to restore that faith and that ability for you to say, hey, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lay hold of this. The Bible says the kingdom of God has been advancing since the beginning of time, and only forceful men lay hold of it. Guys, you've got to take it by force. You've got to say, I'm not dealing with this anymore. Father, I'm standing beside you. I'm standing beside you and your gloriousness and your righteousness. I'm going to stand with you, Yeshua. I'm with you, Yahweh. I'm on your side. And he'll take care of you. He will lift up a standard so that nothing can touch you. I promise you he will do that for you because his word says he will. And Austin, that's my opening statement.
Amen. Wow. And I get to follow that. Wow. Yeah, that was pretty intense, man. That was really good. Well, I'll just get into some other stuff here I have now since everything's kind of anticlimactic after that. Donald Trump has picked, for the EPA head, he has picked Scott Pruitt, which I was doing some research on that, so I want to give you guys some information. Apparently the mainstream media absolutely hates him because he does not believe in the whole climate change issue, the global warming nonsense that we all need to be taxed indefinitely and all these restrictions and everything. So this is a good idea that I think he picked him. It looks like we should have some pretty good EPA changes for the better for our rights in the future, as far as I hope so. He stated on his Donald Trump stated after he picked him, he said, for too long the EPA has spent taxpayer dollars on an out-of-control anti-energy agenda that has destroyed millions of jobs while also undermining our incredible farmers and many other businesses and industries at every turn, said Trump. Pruitt is a well-established skeptic of climate change theory, and Pruitt wrote, healthy debate is the lifeblood of American democracy, and global warming has inspired one of the major policy debates of our time. That debate is far from settled. Scientists continue to disagree about the degree and extent of global warming and its connection to actions of mankind. That debate should be encouraged in classrooms, public forums, and in the halls of Congress. It should not be silenced with threats of prosecution. Dissent is not a crime. And he's basically claimed as he's one of the leading advocates against the EPA's activist agenda. Now he's about to be the head of the EPA in January. This could be really huge for us for a lot of the really, really invasive EPA regulations that have been placed over the last couple of years. And I love the fact that he really wants a healthy debate over global warming, because here's the thing, in my opinion, and Dads and I have talked about the same thing. If you believe in significant global warming and we need to raise taxes, that's your belief and that's your right. You can have that belief, and I can have mine on the complete opposite side, and we can have a healthy debate about it, about who's right and who's wrong. Doesn't mean we're going to come to a conclusion, but we can have a debate. What they're doing now, as you've seen with almost everything, as soon as they don't agree with you, they want to make it illegal for you to say anything. As soon as you don't agree with them, they want to shut you up and muzzle you and not let you say anything. They've done this repeatedly now in the school systems, in the universities, through the political aspects, through the media. If you say anything that does not go along with their agenda, they immediately want to silence you. If you saw now, Hillary pretty much came out of the woods yesterday to talk about fake news now. Who knows what she's been doing, whatever nonsense she's been involved in the last couple weeks. But now she comes out and she says essentially that it's now clear that so-called fake news can have real-world consequences. It's not about politics or partisanship. Lives are at risk. It's a danger that must be addressed and addressed quickly. Congress legislation is making its way through to boost the government's response to foreign propaganda, and the Silicon Valley is starting to grapple with the challenge and threat of fake news. See, the fake news now is the new conspiracy theorist term. I've started to realize that in the last couple weeks. Conspiracy theory is not effective of a term enough anymore. It's been used so much, and a lot of people have embraced it. Yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist. If you want to label me that, if I really think this stuff is true and conspiracies are real and I'm right about it, yeah. Now they're using fake news to go the exact same route that they coined with conspiracy theories, and they want to make sure, and if this gets through with Congress, I don't know, I haven't been monitoring everything with this, if they get this through and essentially can pick and choose any media outlet they want to essentially block, threaten, harass, shut down, muzzle any aspect of basically censorship. They're going to try and do it if they don't agree with the agenda that you're promoting. If it doesn't go along with the mainstream narrative, they're just going to immediately come in and shut you down. So I really hope this does not get through Congress, what they're working on here. I know if Trump gets in, he'll automatically start backing a lot of this stuff out. But this is a significant issue, guys. We're really, really, really starting to see a massive invasion on our First Amendment rights that we cannot allow to dissolve, because if they can come in and start dictating what we can say on the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, or what Hagman can say, or what Hodges can say, or InfoWars can say, and they say, well, you've said this now, we're shutting you down for 3 days, we're going to fine you, and after 3 days, you can come back on air if you choose to do the right thing, but if you do it again, we're going to fine you, and we're going to shut you down for 5 days. That's what they'll start doing until eventually they'll either fine you into submission, or they'll just completely ban you from being on the air in any aspect. This is where this is going if this censorship is able to take hold. So I kind of wanted to bring that up as my first article today to really make you guys understand this is not a joke. They really are doing everything they can to muzzle us because they do not want us speaking the truth. As Dad was just talking about on the show, they know how much power is in the word and how much power is in the name of God Almighty, and they don't want us talking about it. They don't want us talking about WikiLeaks. They don't want us talking about all the stuff that Clinton's have been involved in. All this stuff, they have to try and muzzle it, and now they're using it under the guise of fake news. So it's interesting to see this happen right now, Dad. It really is.
Well, it's the Sabbatean way.
Yeah.
It's the Edward Bernays way, the cousin of Sigmund Freud. Both of them were Satanists. They both worshiped Lucifer. They were both Sabbateans. They have to control the narrative. The narrative controls the attention field around the planet. The attention field controls the frequency. The frequency controls the thoughts and the actions of the people in the planet. That's why when you pray, you change all that, because you change that with scalar waves. That's why when you pray the way I just taught you to pray, when you pray in the name of Yeshua, and you pray the things that you want to have done in your life, and you speak those things that are not as if they were, that's faith. It changes the fabric of space-time, and they lose the trance, the hypnotic spell they've cast over you with their alpha and theta brainwaves. They lose it, and they can't do that to you. And then once you wake up and you realize that you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, and you understand with all what I talked about earlier in the show means, then they have no authority over you. Because even death won't affect you at that point. And that's what the Bible says. Where, oh, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? Death. Because Jesus said, there is no victory to death any longer. Because once you become in covenant with God Almighty through the blood of the Lamb, through Yeshua, they can't touch you for all eternity. And we're here but a speck of time. And then we're with God for all eternity. And they know that. That's why they're scared. They're scared that the alternative news is going to continue to wake the people up and break them out of a hypnotic trance like Hillary continued to try to put the people back into. Yes, but Russia's doing this. Cast that spell back on us. Get us back in those beta waves, those theta waves, those alpha waves. Get us, do a beta test on us and make sure that you can put us back in that trance as quick as you can, because I can't address what you just said, Trump. I can't call them a Muslim extremist or a terrorist. I can't call them that because we've told everybody they're not that. We're bringing in the devil himself with some of these jihadists into the United States to wreak all kinds of hell and havoc on the population of the United States, just like they did in Germany. Yep. My relatives are now contacting me wanting to know if they can get out of Germany, if we can help them, etc. Guys, listen to me. That's where this is going to go if we don't close these southern borders and stop these radical jihadists from coming into the United States. Donald Trump, God threw us a lifeboat with this guy. Now, we're going to hold his feet to the fire in the alternative news, and we're going to make him do what he says he's going to do. But remember, he's going to have 2 terms in the White House. I'm speaking that over him right now. And a lot of the stuff that he's having to do now is to get things back on track. Now, if he runs into the White House, you know, 1st of February and decides, I'm getting rid of the Federal Reserve, it's going to be a disaster. But if he structures things for 3 to 4 years in the beginning of his second term, now he gets rid of the Federal Reserve, now we got a chance. Now we got hope. Now we got a future. Because we're going to get this Babylonian-controlled, debt-based monetary system off our throats. See, that's what we have to understand, is we have to stay out of debt. We have to be the head, not the tail. We have to be the lender, not the borrower. And I'm going to tell you guys this one more time. This is so important. Don't finance toys. If you got to finance a house or you got to finance a car to have decent transportation, that's okay. But if it gets paid off and it's still running good, that car, you keep it for a while and you save up your money. You use that extra money you're making those car payments, you start making those house payments, get that house chowed down. Guys, listen to me. If you can get that mortgage monkey off your back, it changes everything. When you're debt-free, it changes everything. And always remember, Austin said this a few weeks ago, and I'm going to give you one more little tidbit on this. Always keep at least $100 in your wallet. I'm not saying spend it. I taught Austin this when he's a young child. Now, Zig Ziglar taught me this, and here's why. You've got to be very careful with the words that come out of your mouth. You don't want to say how broke you are and how you don't have any money. You can't buy this. You don't do that. That's negative. Just say, as a prudent consumer, as a prudent Christian, I'm choosing not to purchase that item. That's it. That's all you say. That's what you're doing. As a prudent consumer, as a prudent Christian, I'm choosing not to purchase that money. Don't say I don't have the money. Don't say that. Because every time you speak that, you create that reality around you. You say, well, Ted, that sounds silly. I know it sounds silly. Don't get me wrong. I thought the first time I was reading all this stuff, the guys were all nuts. But guys, it works. It makes a difference. The Bible says, ask as if you have already received it, and it shall be given unto you. That's faith. You can't be talking negative stuff. The easiest way to do this is this. Take a comma at the end of every sentence. Instead of putting a period at the end of your sentence, say, next week I'm going to go to Europe, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I have more money than I know what to do with, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I always have wonderful children and a wonderful wife and a wonderful spouse, comma, that's the way I want it to be. If you pray the way you want it to be rather than negative, you can't pray to God, dear God, please don't kill me today, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. So you want him to kill you tomorrow? How about the next day? Is next week okay on your schedule for me to kill you then? Is that okay then? You can't say that kind of stuff. Father, I station angels all around me. I plead the blood of Christ over me. I put a hedge of thorns around me. I thank you for your divine protection, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. Everything has to be prayed in the positive affirmation. Everything. That's how you pray. That's how you pray with power, with dunamis, with dynamite, because then you change the physical reality to what you speak. And the scalar words, the ways that you're putting out. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what faith is all about. We have to pray what we want. Father, I thank you that I feel absolutely great because that's the way I want it to be. Father, I thank you that you help me maintain my ideal weight every day of my life because, Father, that's the way I want it to be. That's how you pray. Always put that comma, that's the way I want it to be, behind every single thing you say. And you'll learn very quickly if you're speaking positive or you're speaking negative. Now, you're going to get around people that are going to be negative. Like the other day, I had a lady call me up with some stuff we were doing here at the house, some subcontractor. And I asked her how she was doing. She goes, not too bad. And I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. And she goes, well, I told you I wasn't doing too bad. I said, yeah, I know. I'm really sorry. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, bad is a form of badly, which means you're doing poorly, which means you're not doing very well. I'm sorry to hear that. She goes, oh, I see what you mean. You're right. I said, that's right. I said, why do you want to speak you're not doing too bad? Well, how bad is bad enough? How bad do you want to do? Guys, you think these little things make such a huge difference. And that's the thing that people don't get. The little things, the little foxes that spoil the vines, it's the little words that you say. It's kind of like this. Jim Rohn taught me this. I love Jim Rohn. If you could watch Jim Rohn stuff for free on YouTube, watch Zig Ziglar stuff for free on YouTube. May they both rest in peace. The legacy of these two are giants as far as in the real world. They're amazing people, both of them, and I was privileged to share the platform with both of them. And Rohn says this. He says this very succinctly. He says, if you look at your life and you're not doing what you need to do and you don't really like the way your life has turned out and you kind of look at what you're in and you're driving what you don't want to drive and you're living where you don't want to live and you're doing what you don't want to do and you don't have what you want to have, he goes, you kind of have to step back and see what happened. He goes, because what happens is this. It's a series of little failings that caused this to happen. Number one, I knew not to buy that ice cream the other night, and I bought it anyhow and brought it home and ate a half gallon. That's number one. I had a sales call I was supposed to make, but I didn't make that sales call because I was too sugared up on the ice cream, and I felt so awful I didn't do the sales call. That's number two. Yes. Well, the next day I couldn't get out of bed because I didn't feel very good. I was coming down with a runny nose because I ate all that ice cream. That's number three. Next day you go, well, I got back to work and I sneezed and coughed all the way and the boss sent me home because I was so sick from the ice cream. That's number four. And what you do is you live your whole life in little failings. And then when you add them all up, when you're 40, 50 years old and you look back and you go, God, all these little failings piled up and now my life is a failure. That's what you've got to avoid. It's not like the world or the ocean or the earth opens up and swallows you and your possessions and your property. There are times that may happen and you don't have any insurance on it, but very rarely does that happen. It's the little inconsistencies in your life that create this giant tidal wave of mistakes that consumes you. It's kind of like this. When you speak these negative words and you start saying them over and over and over again, it's kind of like you start pouring concrete around your feet and you don't move. You just kind of stand there. Well, you can still move around, but you just can't move your feet anymore. You can move your knees. You can bend your thighs. You can move your hips, but you're kind of stuck and you don't know what to do. Well, you keep speaking more negative words and the concrete kind of gets poured up to your ankles. You go, well, this is getting awful now. I can't even bend my ankles anymore. Pretty soon you're up to your knees and pretty soon you're going, well, this is kind of awful. This is not really not what I want to do. I'm kind of like, can't even bend my knees anymore. But you still keep speaking the negative stuff and pretty soon, you got concrete poured all the way to the top of your head and you're breathing through a straw and you're going, this is awful. I don't like this at all. Well, yeah, but guess what? You're the one who built the concrete wall around yourself. You walled yourself up. You blocked all the blessings that God wanted to do for you in all the areas of your life because of your doubt and unbelief and because of the power of your testimony. You're the one that caused it. You created your own reality that engulfed you in a concrete sarcophagus. So now you think, well, how do I get out of this? The same way you got into it. You start speaking the positive things and you have a good attitude. And pretty soon you start chipping away at the concrete. Pretty soon you turn your head again. You start looking around, start seeing out of the sarcophagus. You go, wow, I got a ways to go. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're saying. Keep saying what you're supposed to be. Keep putting a comma and saying that's the way I want it to be. And what's going to happen is that concrete will come away from your life. And suddenly you look around and you'll see that all the other people around you are in a sarcophagus. And you're like, what the heck are you guys doing? And they're going, how'd you get out of your sarcophagus? You say, this is how you do it. And some of them will believe and some of them won't believe. Some of them will listen and some of them won't listen. Some of them are going to love you because you got out and you're trying to help them. Some of them are going to hate you because you got out and they don't want to do what it took to get out of that sarcophagus. Guys, listen to me. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we, as human beings, have to do what we're supposed to do. My old plaque for my grandmother, all burned on wood, and in German, the old script says, Zwei Leben stutzen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principal foundation pillars of life that can never be broken. Prayer, Gebet und, and Arbeit, work. Prayer and work are the two pillars, the foundation principles of life. We've got to pray like it's all up to God and speak the words to God like He's going to do everything for us. And then we have to work like it's all up to us. And in the middle, you're going to find this place of tranquility and you go, wow, I'm going to enter into God's rest, because then you'll realize very quickly, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And you will find a way and a release to find the things that you want to find and do the things that you want to do. And your life will be incredible. And you look back and you'll go, wow, it worked. It really worked. But you've got to take that first step. Oh, by the way, Austin, I got a story here. You got me on a preaching mode today, buddy.
Oh, I know. You just started it up. Keep going.
We're not doing news here very much. We're kind of just doing a Zig Ziglar seminar. By the way, Eric Braverman, the Clinton Foundation's former CEO, is still missing. Gone now. Last tweet, October the 12th, missing for 46 days. Braverman was hired by Chelsea Clinton to clean house. She made a mistake. Braverman made a mistake by going in there when she noticed highly irregular activities on the part of her parents and resented by the criminals installed there. Braverman became a target of John Podesta, and he apparently knew that his life was at risk, so he resigned. He never showed up for his new post as professor at Yale University. That's a big deal. It's an Ivy League school for these secular humanists, not for me. It was reported widely in the alternative media about 2 months ago that Braverman has unsuccessfully sought asylum in Russia, but this story disappeared as utterly as he did. The report claims that Braverman is actually in protective custody with the FBI in exchange for testimony against Clinton. That may have happened if they didn't find the body. So guys, listen to me. This Clinton thing, it ain't over until the fat lady sings, and that would be Hillary. What's your next story, yeah, Austin?
That'd be interesting. Well, this is kind of funny. Again, ATF always involved in some shenanigans that usually doesn't work out very successfully. The Department of Justice's Office of the Inspector General released a report. It's actually about a month and a half ago, though. I just got the article recently outlining a number of significant flaws with the ATF's undercover storefront operations. They like to do this, and let me tell you guys why. They do these things called storefront operations, where investigators, they basically go in and they run undercover storefront operations like side gun stores, or they sell guns out of vans and try and pick up illegal weapons off the street in hopes to find somebody that happens to be a convicted felon that has a .38 on him that he wants to sell so they can arrest him, or so they can supposedly get involved with some type of gun running gang or cartel so they can go back in and funnel thousands of more weapons to them under the table and then lose them accidentally, supposedly, because we all know that these guys tell the truth on a regular basis. And if you guys think that I pick on ATF all the time, it's because I do. Primarily because of their activities that we've seen them involved in, all the way from Ruby Ridge to Waco to the gun running down here, Operation Castaway to Fast and the Furious, and literally a plethora of operations in between. Now, are there a few individuals in ATF that are probably good patriotic Americans? Yes, possibly. I've never met them, but I'm sure they do exist. But to the general overall function of ATF, the significance of what they do, in my opinion, needs to be handed off and absorbed with the FBI, allowing, remember, these guys were formed back in the 30s to handle NFA weapons and tobacco and cigarettes and alcohol. The whole thing came around with Prohibition. So the entire ideology and concept of what ATF was formed on goes back to the roots of trying to suppress people's rights to purchase alcohol and to purchase tobacco and to purchase machine guns, all of which, in my opinion, we should have a legal right to do uncontrolled and unregulated, because quite frankly, they're just compounds. It's not like you're going out and saying, oh, I want to go ahead and buy a surface-to-air missile. That stuff's already under control by the military. You can't just go buy that stuff anyways. This is never what the ATF was in control of. So my whole side story of that is that most of the time they run these storefront operations to try and do other shady dealings that they do off the books, as we saw with Operation Fast and the Furious. Guys, understand, that whole operation where they were running thousands of machine guns to the Mexican drug cartel, I promise you, from people I've talked to, that was not the only time they've ever done that. This has happened on numerous occasions over and over and over again. They just happened to get busted that time after basically the border control agent was shot and they found two of the weapons that ATF had sold next to the body. So what happens is now the Justice Department found, they said, we do not find evidence that ATF examined the impact of the operations to determine if they have achieved measurable success on the specific crime problems where they were designated to address. Once the storefronts are established, ATF agents spread the word they're looking to buy used guns, no questions asked. Prohibited persons, i.e. people with felonies, or those attempting to sell illegal guns, are either prosecuted or used to lure additional criminals into the scene. The strategy seems straightforward enough. However, ATF agents open the stores in hopes that high-level targets of federal interest will one day wander in. This never happened. The ATF purchased hundreds of firearms that were legal firearms, but never made any headway into any type of criminal organization. FBI's undercover program told the general, storefronts are a crude tool to target a crime problem. The sting operation the ATF set up in a mobile van exemplified this problem, with the storefront strategy in general as well as the ATF's shoddy execution in particular. The van operated for nearly a year selling sneakers and cigarettes, very productive, but produced nothing more than four handguns and a small amount of drugs. As one supervisor noted in the report, the likelihood of bumping into an individual that just happens to be walking down the street as you're selling products out of the back of your van that's willing to trade you for a gun for sneakers is next to none. So essentially what we see with these guys is they're trying to find things to do to justify their pay. If they're not involved in some type of illicit gun running to the Mexican drug cartel, they're essentially trying to sit there with a van all day to trade sneakers, cigarettes, and guns on the street to maybe find some type of criminal organization that they never do. So this, again, is why I highlight the fact that we have to start reining in these massive alphabet agencies that have gotten out of control of the government. As I just talked about yesterday, there's 240,000 employees in Homeland Security, a quarter of a million employees with a massive budget every year. All these agencies have to be dialed in, and we have to start focusing on more significant aspects of our government besides going out and doing sting operations to try and pick four handguns up off the street while we're selling sneakers and tobacco. Makes no legitimate sense at all, especially when we're in a massive debt and we're still borrowing money at interest from the Federal Reserve Bank, which, again, that's another story we've brought up numerous times, Deb.
And you know, Austin, that stories have come out repeatedly that the people that have been arrested for quote-unquote terrorist plotting, they were all set up by the FBI. They were given the bombs.
Oh, yeah.
They were given the materials. They were given everything they needed to do. These people had no idea what to do, but so they kind of got talked into it by the FBI, and the FBI entrapped them. And it's called entrapment. They were basically told to do this by the FBI. They'd be supported by the FBI, funded by the FBI. Of course, they didn't think it was the FBI when they were doing it, and they had to find these people. Well, guys, listen to me. There's really not a problem with people running around and chopping off people's heads in the United States. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, barring the thing at Ohio State a few weeks ago with this jihadist Muslim decided to start running around stabbing people, which, by the way, had I been there or Austin been there or anybody with a concealed weapon permit on that campus and had seen him start to hack and stab people, that would be the last person he hacked and stabbed. In fact, when the cops showed up, he was done hacking and stabbing. Guys, it's one of those things. We have a government that's completely and totally out of control. Our government, through the CIA, through the Black Ops, and the shadow government, through the Exchange Stability Fund, continually brings in hundreds of billions of dollars a year, $1 trillion in gross sales, through drugs, out of Afghanistan, on C-130 transport planes, out of Turkey, out of Germany, back into the United States, distributed among the mafia in the United States to fund the Black Ops. Guys, if we just got rid of that, if we stop the importation of drugs coming out of Afghanistan, just stop that. If we shut down the CIA's involvement in this drug trafficking, just that. If we shut down this shadow government, this Exchange Stability Fund nonsense, this operation that operates, this government that operates in the dark recesses of the cracks of the Pentagon and everywhere else, if we get rid of these things and get rid of these people, they'll fade away like a church bell on a cold, crisp fall evening in the still of the night as it goes through the mountains. They'll be gone. They'll just be gone. They won't be around anymore, and it'll just fade away. That's what we have to do, because if you cut off the funding, Austin, you cut off the source, you cut off all of this mess. But we've got our boys in Afghanistan guarding the poppy fields. Really? Guarding the poppy fields? Guys, I want to thank you. Oh, one more quick story. I'm going to say goodbye and let you finish, Austin. Buzz Aldrin, one of the astronauts from the Apollo program who believes in alien and foreign spaceships, was given a trip to the South Pole. I thought you'd enjoy this. And he leaves New Zealand after he had a health scare at the South Pole. The guy's in his 80s. He's also a high-ranking Masonic leader, like almost all the astronauts were. And he's taken to the South Pole. Why in the world does Buzz Aldrin get a trip to the South Pole? I want to go. They have some huge pyramid they found down there. You want to go too, Austin? I know you do.
Oh,
I
want to
know what's going on down there. Now, I'm going to be covered in the blood of Christ when I get down there, so they're not going to be able to mess with me. They probably don't want me down there because I'm going to be rebuking and leashing and everything else down there. I tell you what, guys, it's weird what's going on in the South Pole. But, guys, I want to thank you. I love you guys. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I'm sure I enjoy preaching. I really do. But you should hear me crank up at some of these big churches I speak in. So I really enjoyed having the opportunity to do that with you guys today. And I really want you to know that I'm so thankful and so humbled that you guys are telling us that we're making a difference. And it really means a lot to me. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for just being there and praying for us and issuing all these positive scalar waves on our behalf. Thank you for that. Thank you for helping me to change the very fabric of time space when we pray on the show and believe the things that God told us to believe in from His Word. I love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I'm going to play this show again on Sunday night because it's that important that you guys hear what I had to say today. Love you guys. I appreciate you. And we'll talk to you next week. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, that great show today. Awesome show. Maybe we can get some of our listeners and supporters all together with us and we can plan a trip to Antarctica eventually and try and get some clearance down there. That would be that would definitely be an interesting trip. I've wanted to do that and see what really goes on. Hardest part would be getting clearance to try and actually explore with a guide. But anyways, guys, as a side note, we appreciate everything. If you guys need anything, as always, I say this all the time, and I always mean this, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. COQ10 is product of the week. We also have a new product that we're coming out with, the AquaTrace. We've got a brand-new formula, brand-new manufacturer, our Ionic AquaTrace mineral suspension, much stronger formula, much purer formula. We're getting it out of Utah now. It's up on the website right now. We'll be finishing the batch up, and we'll be getting it ready to ship out by probably the middle of next week. You can check that out. Really, really important product to put in with distilled water. We've been trying to work on getting an AquaTrace back for a while. The Ultimate Multiple suffices for what it is, but the AquaTrace is a much easier product to use, and mixing it in with the water or your drinks or your protein shake and keeping your natural mineral balance really, really in check, especially when used in conjunction with the multiple and also the topical magnesium. But we appreciate everything, guys. If you need anything, as I always say, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night. Have a safe weekend. I think the weather's supposed to be decent in some parts of the U.S. this weekend. I know it's supposed to be pretty cold down here, actually. I think it may be down into the 40s maybe. May have to actually pull out a jacket. So we appreciate everything, guys. As always, be safe, be blessed, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.